Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Welcome, all of you people out there that are watching this live. Good to see you. Welcome. I'm in the back seat, in the driver's seat, First Lady of Pro Rodeo Journalism, Kendra Santos, and producing the show, Greg Teagarden. My name is Tommy Joe Lucia. Welcome to episode 59. Hello, friends, neighbors out there, and hello, A-Team. How's everybody? Kendra, I love your background. Those are cool pictures.
My world, my boys. Anyway, thank you. I'm bouncing back California, Texas. Not coincidental that that's where my two sons live. So I'm in California for a few days right now. We are on baby watch, like any time. So it's exciting times.
Well, so I was going to ask you, did you get a little in between work? Did you get any family time in?
A little bit. I did get to hold bow, and I did get to go to a steer roping at Liberty Hill, Texas. That's where I spent Mother's Day. That was cool. And
who doesn't want to do
I
that?
And I love steer ropers. Steer ropers are cool. And a lot of people don't really know steer ropers, but there's a lot of, they're family people with business people. They're really nice people. So I enjoyed it.
Well, and Greg, you've got one of the very few weekends that we allow you to be home in the piranha thing. Hopefully you're hiking and fishing and doing some fun stuff in the North Carolina. What is that called? The North Carolina.
What? Good question. I have no idea.
Country. Okay. Well,
but the
hopefully
the nice thing is we celebrated my granddaughter's third birthday. So it was pretty exciting.
Wonderful.
Yeah. She got so much stuff. It's unbelievable. Now it all strewn over the living room.
Yeah. Isn't it funny what they decide to play with, right? Like the big toys and all of this. And then you look over and they've got the bow from the one wrapper and are having a hell of a time with the $1.50 item, while the $150 Amazon special sits in the corner.
Yeah, the balloons never get old.
Yeah, balloons. Well, it was interesting for me. I'm in Utah, just flew into Utah to do some work. However, it was very stormy in Texas. So we have a safe room that we put in our house, a weather or a tornado F5, you know, room. Donna doesn't like storms. And we spent the day with Asher, it was a couple days ago, and we thought, well, the weather's supposed to get bad. We're going to get home, put the cars under for hail. Well, when we get out of the car, Nick was with us, we get out of the car, Carly, there's this, like you talk about the wall cloud, like the entire west of Lipan was solid black, but I'm talking about from the ground up, like a for real wall, black wall. And I'm the guy that stands out on the porch in his underwear while everybody else is in the safe room making sure, you know, it ain't coming, I don't see it, you know, but I got in the safe room. We got in, I locked the doors. And I mean, our phones are blowing up. Seven tornadoes within 10 miles of our places. It basically went right in between Chase and I's place. Several of them did, but it's that time of year in Texas. And again, I don't typically, I respect tornadoes, but this one, yeah, I thought it could be the take the roof off one. So it's been a little stormy in Texas as of late. So
I've been in one tornado, and it was in Colorado, and I happened to be home in the late afternoon, and it got dead silent. It was so eerie. It had been howling wind, and then it got dead silent, and that's where it hit. But it like took the neighbor's barn out and stuff like that. But that's wild. And it's really been, I saw some of the pictures of Lipan. It's very scary.
Well, and again, we've got a lot to cover that's real news, but this is kind of funny. So it was a Sunday night. So you know I'm random, but this cracks me up. Sunday night. So the Sunday night news guy, the weather guy, he's like bottom of the rung, right? He's like, yeah, I'll take the Sunday shift. He's not the chief meteorologist. Well, this is a major weather event. And old Darren, he was so underwater. And so we quick turn on the TV because it gets still outside, like you said, Kinder, which means the winds are colliding and it's probably coming. So we flip on the TV real quick to see, you know, there. And this guy is losing his cookies. He's like, I got to admit, I'm freaking out a little bit here. Well, that does not help when the weatherman on Fox says, I'm freaking out. And then he goes, all I got to say is everybody in Lipan better take cover. And I'm like, it's not Lipan, it's Lipan. And then he continues to literally obliterate every town, like Aledo and Decatur. I mean, he's just like loses it. And I'm like, how are you supposed to believe this guy that doesn't even know the names? And I mean, not 10 minutes later, here comes in the chief meteorologist. He literally shoves him out of the room and says, I got this, everybody. So kind of actually random story, but I thought it was funny. Well, let's get kicked off. That's enough of our coffee time. Kendra, let's hit some highlights of rodeo. I've got a couple and you've got some, but I'm going to let you kick us off.
Okay. There's so much. This last week's been so jam-packed. And Saturday morning, Dr. Tandy Freeman was inducted into the Bull Riding Hall of Fame in Fort Worth. And I'm going to rattle off this entire class because it's a big class and we know, I think, everyone in it. But on Tandy, you know, he's the guy there. That was in January this year when he, after two hip surgeries in Nashville, Tandy fixed my son Taylor's knee in January. The same week Taylor had his first baby, it was a wild week. But he's the guy. Like, he's the guy. I said this about him the other day. He's the guy. If you're knocked out, if you're Dusty Tugness and you just broke your leg at the NFR, or if you're a guy that, you know, Kai Hamilton and you get KO'd at the NFR, he's the guy you want to see his face and you want to hear his calming voice when you wake up. And to me, the beauty of Tandy Freeman, who has dedicated his career to cowboys, is that he's the guy, because he knows our sport, who he understands what it is event by event that you're wanting to do when you come back. So he's the guy that will say, it's not going to hurt you. If you can play through the pain, go ahead. You've either done all the damage you're going to do, or it's a pain. It's a matter of pain tolerance. Or he may also tell you, if you keep going, like he did with Taylor with his hips a year ago, and Taylor was supposed to go up at Houston and compete at the timed event championship at the Lazy E, two huge events in his year. And he went to see Tandy, and Tandy's like, do not pass go. You're not going in. No, you're going to Nashville for the first hip right now, period. So, but cowboys trust him because he knows. And then when you go to get cleared after you've gone through all the PT, and Ty Murray, for one example, used to tell everybody when Ty, we went through all that where Ty wrecked his both shoulders, both knees, but he's told everybody all these years, do not shortcut what Tandy tells you. Go to your PT, do everything. Do not come back earlier than he tells you. If you do, you're stupid. And so he's just a trusted family member in rodeo. And, you know, huge congratulations. I have, you know, several times vacationed in Santa Barbara. Tandy and his wife Maureen come out to Santa Barbara and spend a month each year. And they're wonderful people. Anyway, also in the class of 2025 for the Bull Riding Hall of Fame, Flint Rasmussen, Shorty Gorham, Aaron Seamus, Bill Nelson, Blue Stone, Mike Bandy, Silvano Alves, Glenn McIlvain, Cody Hancock, and Dan Russell's Pacific Bell, the Bull. That's a pretty stout class. So Congratulations to all of them. Yeah. And so let's just go ahead.
My favorite part when I go in to see Tandy for whatever it is, like, I mean, I have some pretty major injuries in my, you know, I am a rodeo athlete. And some of my injuries that I've been, but when you go into his clinic, the pictures on the wall in all of the rooms are really, really cool. Like, really, really cool. He's been inside the skin of all the greats in our sport. And, you know, Tandy is, doesn't waste any words. You know, he just says, no, like there's no, can I do this? No. Why not? Well, you can do it, but don't ask me then. It's no. I mean, he's just very straightforward. He understands how the Cowboys think and work. And he obviously cares because he's there. You see him at these events still, when he's got, you know, plenty of miles of rodeos and PBRs in him, and he's still there because I think he's got a special place for the rodeo and bull riding athlete. So super congratulations.
And he, as we all remember, is a protege to Dr. J. Pat Evans, who was the original Justin Sports Medicine friggin' hero, just hero, and such a great friend to all of us. And so, yeah, those guys. And you're right. Tandy's decor in his office. I mean, he had shafts the other day from the, you know, 1988, the rodeo, the Olympic rodeo, that what it was. There was one in Salt Lake City in 2000 or 2002 that I went to. He's got all these things. And of course, all of it is signed with the most heartfelt, you know, messages from everybody. So yeah, he's a great human. Okay. Today, May 20th, to skip around. The WPRA announced that Jackie Crawford is the first $1 million cowgirl roper. You know, barrel racers have done it, but the first roper to cross $1 million in career earnings, which in her case includes calf roping, team roping, and breakaway roping. And that's fantastic, right? I mean, I just, why every time something like this happens, I'm like, I wish Betty Gail Cooper was here for this, because people like her who were absolute pioneers would be so thrilled. And then, you know, we're going to talk in a few minutes about young women, the likes of Josie Connor and Cheyenne McCartney. How quickly are they going to get to $1 million? That is so cool.
Anyway, well, and she got there. The big thing is, and I think she even commented on this, she got to $1 million small chunks at a time. I mean, these huge paydays, probably if you look at her list of how she got to $1 million, it was $2,000 and $5,000 at a time. The amount of wins that she has and the success that she has, to me, congrats. You know, that $1 million, you know how it is, that $1 million probably came in so slowly that she may even look back and wonder where the $1 million is. But congratulations, lots of wins. You know, and to do it not on the back of a barrel horse, you know, is if you didn't hear what Kendra said, she's the real deal. She's the real deal and super lady.
Yeah. And when this breakaway phenomenon, the way it is, first really hit, you know, I remember being in Chicago, Jackie won 50 grand. And we were in a packed house in Chicago at a PBR, and Jackie won 50 grand. That was a big deal. And I so clearly remember speaking with JJ Hampton, Larry D. Guy, and Jackie, because they were like, technically sort of like the elders, but it was like, they're the crew that was in the trenches when they were roping for peanuts. And for them, for it to happen in their career, unlike, you know, like it didn't get to happen for people like Betty Gail Cooper. I'm so thrilled that people like Jackie are getting to experience this. and Larry D and JJ and all of them. Really great. So anyway, so that's a perfect segue into this last week in Western sports. For me, I spent the whole week right there in a very small radius in Texas. First at Cowtown Coliseum, where the Women's Rodeo World Championship happened the first few days before we went Friday night to the Kid Rock, to AT&T Stadium for Kid Rock's Rock and Rodeo Saturday night, and then Sunday for the PBR World Finals.
And I want to throw in a couple things before you jump into your next segment. I thought it was pretty cool, and I saw this come across and sent it my way, and I thought it was cool. Dustin Elliott, if you don't remember that name, a really, really talented bull rider from Oregon that, you know, just his riding percentage from college all the way through was stunning. He's the 2004 PRC World Champion bull rider. And that year, he rode 73% of his bulls and made 193,000. But 73%, when you're drawn into random pens of bulls, is a big deal. But what was cool is he married his wife, Cynthia, in 2003. And what I thought was cool, and what Ann forwarded to me and I read about, Dustin and Cynthia had twins come, Ethan and Emma, and they were 3 months premature, and they had those babies, those beautiful babies, on Christmas Eve in 2006. So I think it's pretty cool that, 3 months premature on Christmas Eve, twins. And at that time, Dustin kind of cut back on his rodeo stuff. He was, had daddy duties, and I get that. He kind of disappeared from the setting for a while, and he returned back in Vegas in 2010. He was a PBR finalist, I think, five times, came back and rode some bulls. And in 2013, he hung it up for good, and he's a rodeo coach at North Platte, I think. But that all that being said, to kind of refresh your memory on Dustin Elliott, those two little premature twins, the little girl, Emma, graduated, and this is interesting to me, she graduated from college, got her college degree the day before she got her high school diploma. And there's Dustin saying his baby girl graduated college before high school, which I think that's a novel thing with the opportunity to, do these, if you're that much of a go-getter. And I mean, to come into the world 3 months premature, have a sidekick as a twin, you shared everything in the womb, and then to be successful, that's cool. And to graduate college before high school. So I thought it was an interesting story. Now, I did look up, there's the whole family. I did look up to see how many kids can graduate college before high school. And that's not a normal thing. I guess you normally need your high school diploma before you can graduate college. So I don't know how it worked. But just a Dustin Elliott reminder, great bull rider, and hats off for raising a family, right? Walking away, I'm still in high school with her college. It's cool. I thought it was cool, and thanks, Ann, for sending it that way. I thought that was a random thing. Congratulations to Emma. Go out there and get them. And the only other thing, back on the WPRA with we were talking about, great women in rodeo. We want to say a hats off. A friend of ours in the Piranha family and a personal friend of mine, Caroline Lukens, just took on the job as the new chief operations officer for the WPRA. Caroline was with us in Denver for many, many years. And so good luck. Good luck with that job. You're probably going to need it. Good luck with that job, and hats off to you. So I just wanted to throw in those two not so in the weeds details that I think are kind of cool.
I think it's perfect. And again, I apologize. It's kind of like last episode when my phone, as we were going live, overheated it, and I had to finish out with it stuck in ice and was whatever.
Yeah, Not everybody knew that, which I was wanting to bring that up. I had it on my notes. In case you didn't know, So Kendra did, you know, remember she froze on last episode? Well, it wasn't until after the episode where we're doing our little round table. And she's like, well, if you see it glitzing out, it's a little bit. I ran over to a barmaid and got a cup of ice and I stuck my phone in a cup of ice. So you're a trooper. That's all I got to
say. It was a little while. But anyway, okay, so perfect segue. We continue to talk about women in rodeo. And so let's keep with it. The Women's Rodeo World Championship that kicked off at Cowtown last week, Lindsay Rosser Sumter and Sammy Jo Smith are leading the charge on that on this. And so the basics, very basic here. 26 cowgirls advanced out of Cowtown last week to AT&T Stadium on Saturday night, including 7 barrel racers, 7 breakaway ropers, and 6 team roping teams. Of note, Emery Edwards, 15 years old, came out of the limited. There's a levels, tiered, whatever. You love the word tiered in rodeo. Okay, there are levels, pro, challenger, and limited. Limited means your lifetime earnings are less than $5,000, okay? So in the breakaway roper, Emery Edwards, who happens to be the daughter of my son Taylor's horseshoer, Travis Edwards, who's a great guy. I've visited with him out there in the barn. He's from Australia. His 15-year-old daughter made it to AT&T out of all this stuff. And in the barrel race, Charmaine Holdren rose up out of the limited category on this horse that she raised herself, Trick. Now, this woman, who is the mother of an autistic son and has done things like, you know, taking karate with him for 10 years, she hasn't been able to go to a rodeo because she was training horses and cleaning so many stalls herself that she developed horrible golfer elbow and tennis elbow to the point where she hasn't been able to go to a rodeo in 10 years. So fast forward, she finally gets enough mobility with her arms to get to ride. And meanwhile, because of her son, she spent that time, she wasn't even able to lift a barrel saddle. She was able to lift a small children's saddle. So she went to giving riding lessons to children to help them overcome their fears and kids with special challenges and needs, you know, spent that time, you know, amazingly well. But meanwhile, this horse Trick who she raised herself, she had gone to like a handful of jackpots at like NRS in Decatur, the 377 Arena in Stephenville. She had won literally one 1D check before she shows up at Cowtown. She gets to go to AT&T and ends up second, which I was not going to say that here, but we'll get back to that in a minute. But it's like the opportunities for women, and really cool to see not just the elite women or the people who do it full time, but women with families, women with day jobs, women with for whatever reason they choose or you know, life has dealt them a circumstance where they can't hit it. But really cool with all of this that it shows how deep the talent pool is becoming, which is great progress and has, I'm sure, a lot to do with all this money. And so anyway, fantastic. So moving along, before we get to the women's finals over at AT&T, Friday night we have the Kid Rock Rodeo, which you went to last year, Tommy Joe. I went to this year. And you know, they bill it as rodeo reimagined, right? And but it's a team rodeo paired with a Kid Rock concert. Two teams. Well, there he is. Okay, so there he is coming in. That was the opening. Notice the pistols for handles on that car. Notice his driver is JB Mooney, the $7 million PBR cowboy. And notice riding shotgun is Jagger, who has a greater following than a whole lot of cowboys put together, maybe even Kid Rock. I don't know at this point. But anyway, so two teams dominated this year's Kid Rock Rodeo: Sid Steiner and Joe Beaver's Jokers, and Cody Ohl and his assistant coach is his daughter, Sailor. their team was called the Convoy. Those teams just battled it out the whole night. And there were so many highlights. I will say, like, Rockersteiner kicked it off for the Jokers. Okay, there he is. He kicked it off in the bareback riding. And then Cole Franks finished what Rockers started before it was over. And again, all this gamesmanship, like, some people, there were people who went twice. There were people who didn't go at all. There were people on the winning team, just like last year. You may have not had your day in this, you know, not had a good day, but still won. The wildest thing, okay, there's that picture shows the camaraderie that you won't see anywhere else. That's JD Struxis over there with no hat, reigning world champion steer wrestler. Dakota Eldridge, I can't see the person on the left because it's cut off on my screen. I think it was John Douch. Is it John Douch?
It's John, yeah.
Okay, so, but it, that shows, like,
good job pronouncing that last name right.
There you go. Thank you. Fast study. But those guys, let me guess, they're either cheering for, like, the bareback riders, bull riders. It may have been women. And by the same token, you know, there were, like, Brittany Posey Tanazi and Cheyenne McCartney and Maddie Uthier cheering for the bull riding. Well, no, not the bull riders, because there was no bull riding, but cheering for, say, the steer wrestlers. Can we run tape on Dakota's run? Because it was probably the wildest thing that happened that night. So as Greg's queuing it up, I'll just say Dakota Eldridge and Jesse Brown were head-to-head for the Jokers and the Convoy. And both of them, you know, it's that crazy light system. And so you can't get left in the gates. So they both come out pretty fast and their steers duck to the right. Well, so neither one, you know, gets to catch their steer right there in front of the chutes like you normally would. Well, Dakota, which we're about to watch here, he's riding Clayton Hass's horse, Benz. He's got Matt Reeves, the veteran, over on the hazy side on his horse, Kirk. And basically, they're like running one down in the middle of a wide open pasture. Okay, see, both ride by at the beginning. Now it's like, oh shit. And this is all simultaneously for the crowd, right? And so here comes Dakota. Houlihan's his steer. Then, oh, where's Dakota? He's down there in front of the chutes somewhere, and he throws him left-handed. You will not see that anywhere else, because anywhere else, if they ride by, they're not going to go on a trail ride in here and run one down, you know? So when it comes to the, you know, wild watching, and Sid, you know, world champion steer wrestler himself, and Joe were just a little bit tickled with that extra effort, but you truly don't see that at other rodeos. I want to mention that Cheyenne McCartney helped the Jokers win breakaway roping. She, when it came right down to it at the end, she went head to head with Shelby Medjid. Well, she was on the Shelby Medjid was on the Convoy. Cheyenne was on the Jokers. Well, guess what? Shelby's husband Haven was also on the Jokers. So he, instead of being in the box with his wife like he usually is, he was in the box with Cheyenne McCartney, who was going head to head with his wife, because that's the way. And he's not a jerk to his wife, by the way. That's part of the rules. You can't loan horses between squads. You can help your team. They have all the rules and everybody agreed to it. So, you know, it was all, it's just part of it, but it's so unusual, you know? And so in the end, each teammate and coach won $27,778. And last week, I'm using these two women, Cheyenne McCartney and Josie Connor, as the poster girls here about last week for women in rodeo. Cheyenne McCartney won $56,028. That was broken down to $32.50 at Cowtown, $27,778 at the Kid Rock Rodeo, and $25,000 for second at the women's finals, which was at the PBR finals at AT&T on Saturday night. Josie Connor last week won $73,000. That was $9,000 at Cowtown, $4,000 at the Kid Rock Rodeo, which everybody got for show up money, and $60,000 at the women's finals. Not to mention the $100,000 that Josie just won at the American this year at Globe Life on the same basic grounds, right? And so, you know, again, how fast will young women like Josie and Cheyenne get to a million?
Yeah.
Cool, right?
Pretty cool. Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it is, remember, if you go back to earlier episodes of this, you'll recall the CEO of the PBR saying that he basically got irritated and started work together to start a new women's thing, which is what they're promoting and pushing. They did a lot of promotion on site, kind of embracing women athletes and women's sports, which, you know, they brought in some women's other sport women people, a combination of all of them, which I think is cool. You know, and, you know, I guess you can ask yourself, you know, will women's professional rodeo rise to the same level of other women's sports? Other women's sports have been challenged to get, you know, to get the ratings and to get what they want, to get the notoriety that everybody else wants. But I thought that was cool. You know, that they put a lot of work into doing those parallels, and it's great for women. And, you know, let me remind you that that's the essence of the WCRA. That's the essence of the VRQ. So while we all take sides and jump into, I'm a PRCA guy, or I'm a this guy, or I'm a that guy, or I'm a this guy, that's fine. But the origin of the WCRA kicked off with this women's rodeo. It's all about opportunity for people that don't have the opportunity to hit the road full time or have a real life, but still have the talent, right, to play the game when they need to and compete when they need to. And in all of the stories that you talked about, it's a prime example. So what they've, you know, those people winning is really good for their model, right? It's good for their model because it's encouraging, yes, to those people at home to say, you know, I might as well go nominate. If I win tonight, I could show up at AT&T, and if old Spot has her night, I'll win 60 grand. So that's,
I would love, this is a perfect time. You know, this 60 grand that was paid out to four different women for one run on Saturday night. Yes, Josie Connor won the breakaway. In the team roping, Ashton Pratts, unless it's pronounced Prates, I don't know her, and Tammy Lewis won the team roping. Casey Matthews and Pop Rocks won the barrel race. And back to Charmaine Holdren and her horse Trick, you know, winning second. And 25 grand for second is no joke, you know. Everybody who made it to AT&T was paid. That's cool. So I was going to roll on to the PBR finals, which, you know.
Well, let me talk a little bit about Kid Rock. So, okay. You know, I did not go this year, you're right, but I've got my spies out there. So I'm going to fly, you know how I am, you're down into the competition and what everybody does. I'm going to fly at 10,000 feet here. Some big things for me, Misty Mountain Hops, who had the advantage, or supposedly the advantage, they got to go first, last year's winner. You know, they didn't have much success this year. I think they only advanced one time, maybe in the saddle bronc riding. Is that right?
But the Misty Mountain Hops wasn't, last year's winner was the Free Riders.
Oh, the Free Riders. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, anyway, yeah. And so apologize for that. But, you know, in looking at it, again, the show was 3 hours and 20 minutes long. That's without the concert. I heard the opening was fantastic. It was good last year. It should be good. PBR does openings all the time. 3 hours and 20 minutes is a lot of content to absorb. That's a long rodeo. I still maintain that you can read the ground rules. You can be right there, and you really don't see all the intricacies of what's going on. It becomes more of a novel watch. Like you said, those two bulldoggers out there, steers taking a hard right, they're pasture running them, right? That's all cool and very, very entertaining. And if you want a spectacle, I think it's a great spectacle. But if your goal on this is to try to promote team type thinking in rodeo, it seems like there's still some things that have to be figured out, because I bet you 50% of the people watching it, it's hard to keep up with what's really going on. Now, I heard they had really good graphics on the screen that helped with that. I heard that their timing, like all of the technical side of it, was much, much better this year. They had one problem in one round that they got fixed up pretty good. So overall, it's a cool event. I still think it's a cool event. Gleason kind of made mention, we hear that they're going to take this on the road. You know, my deal is maybe they should consider, like they do with teams bull riding, is putting these teams somewhere and having four home games where it's just two teams competing, and then a playoff, and then get to AT&T where two teams compete. That's even more like sports. Instead of throwing all the teams and Kid Rock and JB and Little Mooney and all of that, I mean, that's a lot to take in the 4.5 hours there. Not saying that it's not worth the paycheck or worth the ticket. It just seems to me to be a lot. And so again, I'm just flying over the top. I still don't, because we do gold medals at the Utah Days of 47 Rodeo. So when they did gold medals, I was a little irritated, but they're not like our gold medals. But I still don't even know how the gold medal thing works, Kendra, right? Like I'm not clear. Because silver, if you have enough silver medals, you have a chance. So again, it's hard to consume that and watch it and enjoy it and understand what's going on. Now, I heard they did a much better job presenting it, and it's still a good product, and we'll see where it goes. But that's 360, way above. You know how I am. I'm always looking at how do we improve all of the products in our sport. And so that's kind of where I am on Kid Rock Rodeo. It's still patriotic, cool, great.
Right. I would love if we could. I know we're skipping all around, but it was all. Oh my goodness. Sorry, my messages. It's my sons. I love them. Okay, so I would love to roll tape on something before we dive to the hardcore PBR finals, and that's because it happened Saturday night at the women's finals, and it just came up on this podcast the other day in feedback where we were asked what we felt about timing rodeos in hundredths of a second. And I would love if Greg, if you're able to pull up from the women's final, the world championship final on Saturday night at the PBR World Finals. We have these two runs, Cheyenne McCartney and her mare Lexus. Okay, here they are. 182. Amazing. And then turn around not very far after that, and Josie Connor and Dutch were 181. So by 1/100th of a second, was the difference between 60,000 and 25,000. I mean, very exciting. I stand by my statement the other day that, I mean, you know, Cheyenne was thrilled for Josie. I'm thrilled for Josie. But to me, that was a tie. And my stance remains after seeing that. I understand people don't like ties. However, for me, When time is started and stopped by an electric eye and there's zero, human reaction involved, time in 100's great. But when it comes to a run where you have, you know, I don't care how amazing, how perfectly spot on a flagger and timers are, there's still a human reaction time that for do it in 100's, I'm just personally not a fan, but I know nobody asked me, and that's great, but I'm just going to mention it.
I just, nobody wants, Kendra, I understand where you're at, but nobody wants a tie in the Super Bowl. You want to see who wins. And while you may be highly critical on if that tenth of a or that 100th of a second is actually valid, if they're doing everything the same way, I completely disagree. Crown a winner. There's technology out there to make sure there isn't that human stuff in it, but it doesn't really matter. I see where you're coming from. But fans want a winner. I want a winner. Okay. Don't you want a winner? Or do you just want to say, oh, you were close enough. You were a hundred thousands of a second. Don't matter. You both win it. That's better.
Yeah. I think you're full of beans right now, because I don't think the fans would be any less excited to see two beautiful young women step up there and, you know, hugging each other and two friends, you know. But you're coming from production. I'm coming from the contestants. It's cool. We can agree to disagree. One thing I want to mention before we move past this is there were several challenge flags thrown, and I thought it was cool to see Alan Jordan, very long time judge, be the replay official who gave you the thumbs up or the thumbs down on challenges. That's a perfect person to be in that hot seat, because you don't rattle Alan Jordan, and he's a great judge. So
agree.
Just mentioning. So PBR World Finals. So it just ended Sunday. Jose Vitor Lemmy. He just made a lot of history. Okay. It was his third PBR World title, which the PBR World Championship comes with $1 million, as we know. So the third time he's done that, and they're calling it the greatest comeback or the greatest climb. He came from 18th in the pack. He went a perfect 8 for 8 at the finals. And he won the world finals and the world title 3. Now he's won the gold buckle 3 times and the world finals 3 times. Adriano Moraes and Silvano Alves and now Jose Vitor Lemmy are the only 3 to win 3 PBR world titles. And now Jose and Robson Palermo have won the PBR World Finals 3 times. They're tied for that accolade. Get this, because this is the coolest thing in the world. Jose just set a PBR single season earnings record of $2,157,000 and 388. $2.1 million for 1 year. And that is so cool. That's like historic careers that were for $2 million. I don't know how much of the PBR World Finals you watched, if any, but there they are, the three times, you know, Silvano, Jose, and Adriano, who was the very first ever world champion in the PBR.
There's a little understory to this that I dove into that I think's interesting, because I like the backstory. So my first initial thought was, wow. So Lemmy is a fantastic bull rider, a unbelievably talented bull rider, always has been. But when I first heard 18 to 1, I'm like, 18 to 1? That's all. Like, that seems irrational that someone can go from 18 to 1. So I wanted to dig into this a little more. And here's what I'm going to start this with, this little monologue. It still matters if you ride 8 seconds. Just remember that. It's when you ride a bull, you succeed. Because at the end, that's what this shows. So Lemmy, like you said, but as we get a little more in detail, he grabbed 557 of the 756 points available on that weekend. That's 76% of the available points. He won the aggregate, which is 400 points alone. He rode, like you said, he rode 8 hit, but all 4 bulls at AT&T. Again, here's rode. But let's, you know, because when going into this, if you watch the PBR feed, here's the way it was setting. to set the landscape going into this. Dalton Castle. Castle had 1,383 points. Fielder had 1,145 points. Krimber, the young phenom, 949 points. And Lemmy sitting there with 937 points. This is going into this two-weekend stint. Now, remember, this isn't just the PBR finals. This is all of the stuff that happened in Cowtown. You know, they got there's a million different things. There's a ride in, and there's they do a bunch of bull riding at the Cowtown Coliseum. And here's what it boils down to. Lemmy rode more bulls the entire weekend than everybody else. So let's look at Castle. This is interesting because we're talking about Lemmy. Congratulations, 18-1. He won a little over 1.6 million in Tarrant and Dallas County alone, right there, right?
If you count the $1 million bonus.
If you count the $1 million bonus, but still, that's what he claimed by being there. But let's talk about Dalton Castle, who going into this was teed up to win. I mean, he's 400 and something points above Lemmy. Now, still, the points were all there. It was a strong finals race. A lot of people could get the title, right? There was a lot of odds makers that shows with the points you could win. But Castle, here's what's sad. He rode one of four bulls at AT&T. One of the four bulls is what Dalton covered, right? He lost the buckle by 68 points. 68 points. That's $1 million. He rode one of four bulls. That means had he rode any of the other three, he's the world champion. And hold on, next layer of this, two of those three bulls that he got bucked off on, one was 7.3 seconds. The other one was 7.7 seconds. So what do I get out of this? Castle was 3/10 of a second from being the headline here, right? This wasn't, while it was a runaway in that Lemmy did the impossible and just rode more bulls. I don't care who you are, all the coaches and the PBR teams and all this, it's real simple. You win by riding for 8 seconds. He did it more than everybody else, and he's the world champion. And congratulations on three. But Dalton, I mean, 68 points, right? He's and literally, I think, had he got one more point, like he had a 90-point ride, and I think had he been a 91, I'm not going to get too much in here because I don't know the exact details. But instead of being a 90, had he been a 91.5, it would have bumped him up in that placing, which would have bumped him up in the aggregate, which would have got him the 68 points. So not only was he 3/10 of a second, but he was literally 1 point in the ride. If he got one more point in the ride he had, he's the world champion. So congratulations to Lemmy. Great, unbelievably talented and amazing. And to stand there with those three guys, of course, you guys all know that my favorite bull rider ever is Adriano, ever. A close second to Justin McBride. And again, this is just personal relationships, right? Justin and Adriano are two of my very, very favorite all time. Lemmy's that good. And so it just, that's a little inside that I think is interesting. And the only other thing I'll throw in there is that the PBR does a good job of taking care of their animal athletes. I want to throw in that the ABBI, that's their bull riding or bull bucking competition. And these are younger futurity, like you have in horse racing bulls. They gave away another $1 million, Kendra, in the ABB event alone. There's the standings. $250,000 gets paid out to brand number 33L Swamp Donkey. I can read all of the names. These bulls are owned by like 65 people now. But anyway, with a 92.88 score in his bucking. But still, 900 grand. Really, it was $1 million. I think 100,000 goes somewhere else for some other thing. But it's $1 million. The amount of money that really is spearheaded by the PBR, When you boil all this down, this is spearheaded by the PBR. The amount of money and all of the things that we've talked about, as much as I hate to do it, because we got a little sparring match always, Sean Gleason and I. Congratulations to Sean Gleason, Robert Simpson, the entire PBR staff in the Cowtown down there in the Cowtown, their offices. This is spearheaded. Make no mistake. All of this stuff is driven by the PBR machine. And heck, congratulations, you know, guys like Robert Simpson that put all this stuff together and make it all happen. You know, we talk about all this cool stuff that we talk about, but I know about the people behind the scenes that make all this crap happen so we can talk about it.
Yes. And Robert was there for every, I don't remember if they said 600 some runs of the women alone at the Cowtown Coliseum. And then there was the PBR Finals Redemption Rounds, Wednesday and Thursday nights and all that. Robert was there for every single run, every single ride. He was there for all of it. I would also mention John Krimber. Did you just mention John Krimber's name? Mm-hmm. John Krimber. Okay, well, at AT&T, pardon me?
I think he was one for four on his blowout.
Here's what I'll say. When I was at AT&T, I worked with a PBR camera crew to interview, to do interviews on camera for this summer's Heroes and Legends, which is the PBR's inductions, which will be July 10th at the National Western Heritage Museum, the National Cowboy in Oklahoma City. Okay. And Paulo Krimber and his son John were two of the people I spoke with about different things. And Paulo spoke of the Bulls. To your point that you just made, I had him talk about, because Big Bucks is being honored, talk about how the Bulls are half of every score, and the PBR, since the very start, it was the best bull riders on the best bulls, and the best bull riders cannot do their thing and shine like they can without the best bulls, and the PBR has honored that fact. So that was really cool. And then I also spoke to John Krimber about J.B. Mooney is receiving the PBR's Ring of Honor this summer on July 10th, and I spoke with John Krimber representing the young people. Well, he shows up in with his right, his free arm, his right arm in a sling, you know, taped to his chest tight because he has a broken collarbone. And from all those years I worked for the PBR, those guys always told me it is way worse when it's your free arm because you have to throw that thing up there. So that kid, I was like, wait a minute, you're riding this weekend? And sure enough, I mean, it's kind of wild. But another thing that was very touching to my heart before we leave, you know, talking about this last week is that our friend Roy Cooper is this year, he had just found out he's receiving the Ty Murray Top Hand Award at this Heroes and Legends event in July. And he was so excited about it. And I also did interviews with his son, Tuff. It's the first time I'd seen him since Roy died the other day, his dad, and Trevor Brazil and Fred Whitfield. And talk about touching. Huge error on my part not to wear waterproof mascara. But imagine Tuff, you know, we were all crying in there. There was a whole room with a set up and all these men, a lot of the guys on this crew were from the wrestling world, you know, since the PBR recently joined forces with wrestling. And these people aren't of the cowboy world, but I mean, Tuff, Trevor, Fred, you know, like Paulo, John Krimber, you will love it when you get to know these guys and you will love our sport because of the people in it. And so it was such an honor to work on that project. Anyway, I could go on forever about the last week that just happened in Western sports, but it was just lights out across the board, I thought.
Well, on a quick side note, they are doing, CBS Sports is doing a feature on that ABPI stuff in July. They're going to run a feature. So if you're into bulls and stuff, but it was a big weekend. Really cool. I really love that it happened in Texas. I'm a Texan. I'm also a Utahn now, but I'm a Texan by heart. And to see this stuff come back to Texas is cool, right? To see, because Texas has always wanted to play in that game, and the PBR to embrace it and come there is cool. And a lot of cool things. Glad you were there. A lot of cool, just, you know, let's not take for granted when we start to take sides in this sport that everybody's intent is to help this sport, right? It might be, everybody has different angles and different opinions. You and I disagree on whether you should tie or win. But in the end, what we all want is to continue for people to know how great it is, the friends and family, because we're all one big family still. I hope that never changes. We talked about the culture of the PBR. I hope it never changes. The fact that we are one big family, and families fight and families argue and families grow. So that's really cool. But that's enough. That's enough on rodeo. We do always promise to hit our feedback. So Kendra, if you're okay with it, Greg, do we have any feedback that we need to hit this episode real quick before we jump off?
Yeah, we have a few feedbacks we can catch up on.
Lay them on us, Captain.
All right, here they come. All right, the first one is from the 208. Love the podcast. I look forward to it every week now. Love the truth and the rest of the story that Kendra always has brought forward to us rodeo family. Tommy Joe is a kick in the pants. Love the camaraderie. We also
kick Tommy Joe in the pants.
Kendra's the genius and Tommy Joe's the joker. Hey, I come with real content, people. Goodness. Golly.
We also got some...
Because I love the rest of the story. I've always loved the rest of the story. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. So happy Mother's Day, Kendra from FS. I'm a faithful listener of the podcast. I love to keep up to date with all the latest rodeo news and hear Kendra and Tommy Joe banter back and forth. You guys have great chemistry. Kendra, I also wanted to say that I love when you refer to California High School Rodeo. I, too, was a CHSRA rodeo mama. We rodeoed with District 3 for 5 years before moving out of state 2 years ago to southeastern Oklahoma. We chose to rodeo with Arkansas High School Rodeo, where my three kids have completed the past 2 years. My oldest is a senior this year and will be attending Northwestern Oklahoma State University, competing in multiple events, but his main event is bulldogging. We love the HSRA families. They have been so welcoming and supportive of us Californians. But I so miss my California high school rodeo families. They will always hold a special place in my heart, and nothing beats high school state finals in Bishop with those huge mountains looming majestically in the background. Keep up the great work with the podcast.
Okay, that touches my heart in so many ways. And Oklahoma has also been very welcoming to me, which I totally appreciate. Heavy on Shakota, but everybody... And I don't have it in front of me, but Northwestern Oklahoma State, or her steer wrestling son, I'm sort of guessing that maybe that's where Stockton Graves is the coach. If so, that's a great choice. Something happened over the weekend that so touched my heart when it comes to California High School Rodeo. I get video, you know, we're coming up, we're about 10 or 11 days away from the day my dad died. Last year, and he had his favorite horse ever named Special. Well, he ended up when he got prostate cancer and he couldn't rope for a while, he would come over every day when he was going through radiation and sit in the chair at the arena, which is right out this window here, and help my son Lane, like he was my dad's heel horse, make him a calf horse. Well, anyway, fast forward to both my sons rode him at the timed event. You know, Taylor at times hazed on him, whatever. This is an amazing horse. Lane and Taylor have lent this little horse to this little boy named Colt Mora, and he just won the junior high state finals writing special. And I just got this video, and I'm like, oh my God, my dad would be so pleased to help this little boy. He goat tied on him, he ribbon roped on him, and he's the state champion healer in junior high. And it's just, the memories. It's like the first time we went to Red Bluff for the state finals, Taylor was in sixth grade, and he was the all around champ there. And it's like, time has flown. But anyway, that's very special to me. Thank you. I had a great Mother's Day.
All right. Our next feedback is referencing a couple episodes ago when we were talking about the Road to the Horse. I don't think it was mentioned, but Road to the Horse was started by Steve Dookie Bland, and Buster McGlory is also a great cowboy poet. P.S. If it's April Fool's, it's not fake news.
Well, okay. Yes. The Blands were a part. Tootie brought us in originally. Greg, you remember?
Oh, yes.
Tootie and the
Road. Many years with Tootie.
And, yeah, lots of room with Tootie, thanks to Steve Rumpless and all of that whole crew for bringing us in. You know, Road to Horse is a great event. Buster, I did know Buster was a poet. I talked to Buster a little bit about that. He's just 100% bow-legged cowboy cool, right? He's just cool. He's like, there's no pretense there. And like I said, when I was talking about the Road to the Horse, he's broke more horses than most of those guys put together. I don't know about if it's April Fool's, it's not fake news. You know, I think fake news is anything that's not the truth. But again, we could be splitting hairs. This could be tenths of seconds over. I don't know. The April Fool's stuff that is on, you know, every year, like we said, the PBR comes out and says we're now only going to ride bulls 6 minutes or 6 seconds, not 8 seconds. And it's an April Fool's joke. And they really need to, we're spending a lot of money in Fort Worth and Dallas. They need to think of a new April Fool's joke because it's the same one over and over again. But it's still fake news. So, but appreciate the comments. Is that all of them?
You know what? When I was a little kid growing up in California at the California Rodeos, Tootie, you referred to Tootie, was Tootie Bailey. And then she was married to NFR header Brian Burroughs. And she was Tootie Burroughs. And then when she was married to Steve Bland, everybody says Steve Bland was cool. And apparently they were just so, so happy. And he died young. And that was really sad. So anyway, I haven't seen her in many, many years, but I remember her being around the rodeos when I was a kid.
Yeah, and he was a big part of that event for her. After after he passed and she ran that event for a number of years, she always did stuff the way that he did it, and it was a lot of stuff in a lot of the procedures and stuff that go on there are because of him, and she kept all that alive. So, and she's a character, great fan base.
He was a great all around cowboy. My understanding, he was before my time as far as watching. But was he not part of the Mac Altizer, Ole Smith crew? I kind of feel like.
I think he was a part of that crew. Yeah. That all around crew that. I think you're right. Again, I was still looking for Tootsie Rolls at that time, but I think you're right. I think you're right. Well, thank you everybody for joining us. We appreciate you spending time with us, watching us live. If you ever have a moment and you listen to the podcast and you want to see me, you want to see my facial expressions when I don't agree with Kendra, or you want to see Kendra very blatantly give a look, a side eye to me, join us live on Facebook or YouTube. You can go to the YouTube channel, by the way, and watch it. Video on demand, and you could probably do it while you're at your desk and pretend like you're working. But watch the video. There's lots of really cool pictures. But if you're into a routine of listening to us on the podcast, thanks for joining us on the podcast. Thank all of you. We're 59 into these, and we sure appreciate it. Hats off to one of the greatest storytellers ever, Kendra Santos, and all of her in-depth. Thanks to the greatest production, technical production guy I know in the world, Greg Teagarden. And thanks to me for just closing out the show. So, until we meet again, God bless all of you. We'll see you at episode 60 next week.